good old cliches. The work of others, what the cliches currently are, because I think they really do speak to things that motivate the people. And that is easy to follow the relationship. One of those phrases is, it's not enough to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk.
Blank all the stuff.
And that's true. There are things that require you to act them out, and so you can actualize those experiences. That's a great way to say that everybody knows. There are other things that are true, but there are two of them. One of them that I hear a lot is that life is a journey, not a destination. And actually, of course, it's both. Every day has its destination, and there is a final destination. But what is meant by the life is a journey thing?
Yeah, it's plugged in. You can plug, you can play music, you go out. No.
I saw in the sports section of the article.
You can play it. The USB, it's plugged into here, and here it plays in speakers. There's your output to the speakers.
So you can play speakers. Great celebrities, interviewed by everybody who possibly can, and he keeps trying to find a new place for himself.
I don't know, maybe he just doesn't want to be out. I'm not about to find out.
He has turned into more than I do, a baseball player now. And he's not in the major leagues, he's in the minor leagues. And he's in the minor leagues, it's been hard for him to make a way to be able to play, even though he played baseball when he was in high school, where he is a super athlete. And, he probably plays 200 golf, but anyway, he was being interviewed because recently he hit a real great home run, and that made the news because culture says Hamilton Tebow is declining, and he probably won't be able to stay on the train. I mean, that's the mood, kind of looking at things when you become a celebrity, they look for your feet to play and all that. So, good thing about Tim Tebow is that he is a very conscious Christian first. And he makes a very strong witness for his faith every time he gets a chance to. I've noticed over the years that he's gotten more aware of that.
That's what most of us
are. And so this guy was interviewing Tim Tebow about his great slam home run. Boy, that was just a wonderful thing he did. And it's a hard work for him to come. And that's what every politician would want to hear, right? Wasn't it? And he didn't fall to the base. Tim Tebow said, well, you need to look at this one. There was a lot leading up to it. It was not an easy victory. I had a lot of bad at-bats. Even though this was a good example of what we want to aim at. And he said, too, that we can't just say that my destination is to get into the major leagues or something like that. You have to live this day with its, all of its challenges and strengths. That's what it's all about. And he used
when you
that
the service, you put them all down.
It's about
they all start at zero.
On the destination.
They all have to be at the end.
Of course, he was a little more theologically inclined. He was reading the gospel today. And he was on the destination, is really important too, where there is a separator and so forth. Our destiny is fulfilled because we're walking in the game side way, and the game is the winner, and he's not here, he is here, but he is risen, and we are going to be glorified with him. So our destiny really does have to do with labor. Still, empty order of culture is right. We do need to pay attention now. We don't need to worry about the labor, God will take care of that. But we do have to be concerned about how to deal with it today. And you can teach a good lesson. And I was really honored to share the Christian faith with Tim Tebow, who was probably a lot better preacher than I'll ever be, making a strong witness. And he said, I just love to do this, and I always have, because it's fun. Well, I expect people to say something more profound than that. But I started to think about it.
How do you
find that? And he mentioned it three times, too. It's fun. Every time I'm at that, it's fun. And that's what it does to make the present moments.
And he's preaching about Tim Tebow. keep it on the charge. I don't. That actually makes me.
But I think that in relation to our first thing today, about King Solomon shooting, I think it's because he is still, a kid at heart. And he probably, I hope, will always do
it.
Because he is able to find it fun to make the challenges of the heart and fun. And I have to remind myself that I have challenges too. And when I'm really in the moment, that challenge is kind of fun.
But when we do that, it's so.
You don't think about it, but it is sometimes appreciating something like that. Or it can be a burden, or it can be scary, or it can be a dump, or something like that.
So down.
But if it's present, or what do you want to say to people now? Not just at 8 o'clock, but at 7 o'clock, or 10 o'clock, then it becomes fun. Because my attitude, you can see, has changed from my attitude to be a teachable person looking for what God is doing wrong. I think that's what Tim Tebow was talking about, and I commend that to you. That's certainly part of the characteristic of King Solomon, who was, by definition, a very wise king. He came to God in his dream and his dialogue and said wisely, "I'm just a child." If every politician could say that, things would be very different. "I'm just a child. Teach me. Show me the way. I don't have all the answers. I need your help." He didn't even say to God, "I need you to do great things for me. I need you to make me the king of the Lord's kingdom. I need you to give me the old leaders five people to please the sheep sooner rather than later. I need you to make me rich and survive the age of my kids." He didn't say that. He said, "I want a child. I want to be one. I want to be teachable. I want you to show me the way." And he was doing this in relationship to what he had learned at home. He had learned from his father, who also was a follower of God in the way. He was walking in the presence of God. Now, it says in the scripture, I think it's in the passage, that he is before the Lord. But the Hebrew word there
was
not that well understood. He looked like he walked before the Lord, David and Solomon. It could have looked like the Lord was behind him, and he was in front, before him. Of course, the use of the word for Samina is exactly the opposite. He was in God's presence. And so a better translation of that would be, he walked in God's presence, the walk of faith. And in fact, in our prayer book on Psalm 116, that same idea comes up. "I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living." That's what we're talking about. That's what it really means. Most of the translations, including King James and say before, because literally that's what it says. "I walked before the Lord." But rightly so, what it means is I will be walking in the Lord's sight, in the Lord's presence.
Something was actually walking.
So that's what this really means, walking in the presence. It's not being outwardly God and expecting to be followed, or walking into something that hasn't happened. That's part of the lesson. David was blessed because he was walking in faithfulness. But remember, Solomon was doubly blessed because he asked humbly for guidance, because he was willing to put his own message, his own needs, his own itself is on the game cell in the same place. It's very hard to do all of the things. But God said, not just that I will bless you, like I was saying, I will double bless you. You didn't ask me for a long life, so I will give you a longer life. I will give you more than you asked for. That is a really promising thing. But what I'm trying to describe to you about walking before the Lord in the Lord's presence and putting things, other things, in their own place. Sometimes you're looking at your own personal agenda. It's not just about politics, it's about truly being Christ, walking faithfully to the Lord. I'll give you one such illustration of how that works. I pray every day to be available to God. There are always surprises. And so I'm expecting the surprises, but each day it is a seamless.
I was expecting you to be quiet so you know I'm created.
In shock. That's what's surprising about
me. He actually says that.
I was called a few days ago to go to the Taken Up Hospital to visit gentleman in another parish who was going to be having surgery. And so he was in the ICU and I was going to bring him away and going to and it was really our hard thing to do at all. He's an active Christian all his life. I asked him what his favorite song was and he told me and he read it and it ministered to him and to me. And you know, he was a man of faith and I thought, well, this is really an easy job. Sometimes my problems are easy. But I had surgery, and the day after surgery, I went back to call everybody and see what he's doing. And when he was doing surgery, he was complaining about the food, which is a good sign. He was unbelievable. Wonderful. I left him, left him in this wonderful volunteer, the temple ministry that I had to go. I walked up and this kind of just dropped a thing under the nurse came up to me. And she said, I don't know what you're going on in this nurse. This kind of talking to this conversation. I don't know how to go on the chaplain. I don't need to know there is a chaplain. So I thought, person who goes in on the side gets a short time to go. His wife is there and his son is there. And they don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know. She was really having a time. I didn't have any time much to think, but sometimes praying this is prayer time. And what I was praying was, Lord, this is what I came for. This is the interruption. And you know that I also volunteer to play the organ at St. Mark's tomorrow, and I haven't had time to practice yet because I've been doing all these other available things. But I turned it over to you, and you can be responsible. And I knew what I had to do. So I went in and ministered to you. Turned out it was the right place. If I had not been about a very short time ago, I had this worship. The place is quite warm, and I don't think it's still there. That's all I was able to say. I didn't know what to say. The heart of the soul of this world, and then you come to Father, and you go about the center. The Holy Spirit sent to me, and I knew it. And I was able to minister to his wife, his holy angel, and his son. I mean, it was the right time, and not my time, but it's the right time. And then for the next day, I was going to work at St. Mark's without practicing. So I don't work as well as you used to practice your organ. It's kind of a compound instrument. And I used to be an organist. I reached my peak as an organist at age 18. And I had a church job, and I was actually thinking of becoming a organist. And then stop practicing at age 18. I'm still playing the same pieces that I played when I was 18 in 1976. So you imagine that the stuff is not quite as polished. You know, that my feet are not quite as nimble on the pedals and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's the background. So I said, Lord, you know, I turn this over to you. You have to work with it. I'm out of my depth. And I really didn't want any realist people, you know, like looking over at the whole bridge plate. You know what I'm getting at? It's distracting. When you do have a bridge, you want people to focus on God, not the musician. It's not in that. So I just turned it over to the Lord, and you know, that was the best place since I've been in Jesus. And it made my feet lighter. And what was a struggle at first, I could once again say, this is fun. And I understood what I'm preaching about a little bit better. The only illustration I've got, but it's real. I understood what Solomon was coming with and how he was only blessed. I have often been doubly blessed because I've been learning for my lifetime to walk before the Lord in the Lord's presence in the land of the living. And it's been really, fun. It's something beautiful. Now, walking is important. In some domain, no other walking, trying to work on walking is meditation for all the time. Because now I'm kind of distracted. How can I even tell if I'm reaching the kids right really easily? And overly excited, and so and I can't sit down and just be quiet. So I walk, and I've been doing this for decades. And so I've done a lot of walking. And for many people, you need to have some sort of an action plan in order to be good. So walking in the Lord's presence is a prayer form of prayer for me in the land of the living. On my website, I have a blog post about how you do this. Very similarly, I have a blog on two more lines. It's basically you go for a walk, and you take about 20 minutes, and you do it intentionally as walking from the Lord's presence, like you dialogue or something. You start out by saying a little prayer, it doesn't matter what prayer, but that gives you a concrete action focus. And then you start to walk, and you go, pray however you need to. If there's something that's troubling you, you walk back and forth. But to make sure that you get all this out so that you have some time to just be quiet. So listen. And about 20 minutes is, after about 10 minutes, you pretty much got it out. And then the last 10 minutes, you come quiet and focus on your breathing and just be present. You're walking in the presence of the Lord. And you can see that it really is a lively place where you're walking. And there's a faithfulness and goodness about that. Well, that's my plan, the technique of walking in the presence. And it really does work, especially for people who are very distracting and don't sit quietly. It's the same thing, except your body is actually moving. Actually, sometimes you have to be careful because it's best if you walk when you're walking poorly. Because you don't want to be hit by a car. Walking across the street someplace, you know, like, cell phone. It's best when you walk on the track or walk on the gap, you know, fall into holes, that kind of stuff. So be careful about it because if you have a while, you can walk after the picture of the body. So walking in the presence of the Lord is something that you can do. I had an experience recently that was kind of a heightened version of that. I took my grandson to the church for Jesus for 13 years old. We went on the pilgrimage and walked what's called the Camino. On the way to Santiago de Compostela in northern Spain. Well, it takes, a little bit more than a month. It takes me 5 or 6 weeks to walk the whole thing. It's 500 miles. And so, you walk 500 miles, about 15 miles a day, real engineers and no engineers that are involved. That's not the important part. The important part is when you do that kind of a walk on your journey, there are things you learn and share when the journey is long and tough. They often can share deeper experiences that communicate. And I had two experiences there for us. One is that I found out that if you're walking 15 miles instead of 20 minutes, you're walking all day. After the first hour, so I could see the way you're going to be going. After another hour, you saw all the problems that you have. And there's nothing left except something. And I can tell you, you do this day after day after day, even though you have transplants and you get pretty tired and it's hot and sweaty all the time. It's really fun. And that you enter into the presence of God in a deeper and deeper way. And I can simply say that it's fun. If you have the time to get rid of your own destination and make that heavenly destination now, it will all be a little bit more fun. And the empty boats that we're talking about when you said, you know, it's really fun to walk in the presence of the Lord. And so I learned that. Sometimes you just have to walk onward and move on and move things. And I learned something else. The power of what happens in places like coffee hour and church. And sometimes people that you meet at the school can be very, very profoundly blessed, just as much as deep friendships and privilege can be blessed. I give you an example of that. When I was on a walk, I stopped at one place and had some coffee and kind of and I had a conversation with a guy because people on this building are very open to everybody's own thousands. And so I was sitting there to this other guy who said,
Can you not?
He started telling me why he was on his building. I told him why I was on. And he said, he was from Canada, his name is Ron, and he was a retired police officer. He had to retire because he had PTSD and deal with so many difficult situations. He was stronger than a slave, he was spending a good deal of time. He thought that maybe if he didn't walk on the Camino, getting started out of France and use more than 400 miles on the journey, that maybe he would find something more. And he said, there's a little church, a little church, it's just a couple blocks in the street. We could go up there and sit there. And he did. So we went up there, and so I knew exactly what I had to do. And there was this guy who was born and was just like himself, and the passport to heaven, you know, was a regular prisoner of that church. He was just being a welcoming, greeting person with anybody who happens to walk in. So we stood there, we stood before the altar, and we were in the middle of the street, just about the size of the medieval church. And the guy in the back thing where we had some of his name came up, and we laid hands on this man. And I remember him every day since. I have no idea what his last name was. I will never see him again, probably. But I'm sure that he's who he was. And I'm sure that that was a moment where two or three were gathered in God's presence and Jesus was there. So that's the thing I learned. Don't discount those little relationships that you may have. They may be really critical to somebody. And when you get beyond your own agenda, your own needs, your own comfort, you can be twice blessed, just like Solomon was. Well, that's what I have to say about the community. Except one more thing is how people really need this change to take place in their lives. Because our culture is having trouble in this very area, which is why we read about it so much. And why people are doing it. As you may know, just a few weeks There was a man in Coca-Cola, 31-year-old guy, who was handicapped, who foolishly decided to go swimming in the pond and drowned.
That's what you say.
And it's made international news. The last time I've seen international news was the Pulse nightclub event in Orlando. I got a picture on that too. Make really terrible things happen sometimes. And the thing that made this worse was that there was some other young men who were there taking a video of this whole thing and mocking this man and telling him they hope he died. And they didn't call 911. And there's been a big controversy ever since then about why they didn't do something. Speculation. There are even people who want to make laws now, making it necessary for people to be obligated to be good and to be good Samaritans. That will never happen. You just can't happen. We've done that situation. So what do you do? Well, yesterday his funeral took place in Coco, the Zion Thurman Baptist Church, and the pastor was there. And to speak on this situation this morning, and to be forgotten and turn into God's wisdom. But if the heart of his message could be brought to this morning, it was very simple. We're moving too fast. We need to slow down and listen. These boys were simply living in the culture. They weren't any worse or any better than the rest of us. But they were living in the hardness, callousness of this kind of culture that's seeming to get harder, more callous and ridiculous every day. If they just slow down, find out who they are, walk in the presence of the Lord, they'll find that they're walking in the presence of the Lord. That's always a challenge.